Some things are hard to believe, but my goodness me, I've covered items like this often enough on this show over the past 12 years or so to know that we should never be shocked in Northern Ireland. But a boy of mixed race, a minor who was asked to leave a Currys PC World store in County Down, has been paid £3,000 in settlement of his case alleging racial discrimination. The Equality Commission supported him in taking his case, which was settled by DSG Retail Limited, operators of Currys PC World, without admission of liability. So, in this day and age, how does a young black lad get into difficulty when he's out buying a piece of equipment for his computer? What sort of a reflection is it on our society? Let me speak to Dr. Michael Wardlow, who is from the Equality Commission. Michael, you are the Chief Commissioner of the Equality Commission. Does it shock you the number of errors, shall we call them errors, or just blatant examples of ignorance or downright discrimination that comes across your desk?
Frank, I'm 7 years with the Commission now, and I've seen in that case, I was just working out this morning, I've seen over 2,000 cases come before us, and about 200 of those have been race. And I have to say, this one stopped me in my tracks. I'm used, like you, to seeing cases of discrimination, but in this particular case, this was a young boy. He was 13 at the time. He had his pocket money. He was going into Currys PC World to buy a wireless keyboard. He was aware as he was walking around the store that he was being shadowed by a couple of people from the store. He was asked to leave on several occasions, and when he asked why, he wasn't given a reason. And when eventually, as a young 13-year-old, he felt pressured into leaving, his mum then asked for why was this happening. And then when she eventually phoned and got speaking to someone who said they were a manager, she alleges that the manager said, "We've had problems with blacks before." Now, when I saw that, and I'm thinking of a 13-year-old boy, he was born here. Now, not that that makes any difference, but there is a surmise that if you're a different colour, if you're a non-white, somehow you must be a migrant. And there's that stereotyping. But this was neither of those. It was simply because of his colour, he was asked to leave the store, according to his mum.
Yeah, so you're never going to hear from someone, "We've had problems with whites before." So if alleged, you're saying that's alleged to have been said, and "we have problems with blacks" yeah. before. It's incredible to think that someone could be at best so ignorant as to use that sort of defence. Now, I'm just wondering, because I can't help but think that two members of staff wouldn't shadow a young fella round a store simply because of his colour. I'm hoping they wouldn't, but the suggestion here is that they did. Was there no possibility that this young lad was lifting equipment and, you know, messing about with his mates, or just being a wee bit of a nuisance the way any kid could? Black, white, multicoloured, doesn't
sure.
matter.
Okay, well, let me take that head on. First of all, he was on his own. He wasn't with friends. The second thing was, and this is, I've spoken to you about this before in your program, the irony is that you have no protection under equality law in Northern Ireland because of your age. So had they said to him, "You know, you need to come in here with your mum or your dad or your granda or a guardian," that would have been perfectly legitimate, because they may have said in the past they had problems like you've suggested. The fact is, they were asked why he was being followed. They were asked specifically why he was being asked to leave, and none of those were offered. Now, so therefore, what we're saying is, in the absence of any other reasonable explanation, when this manager allegedly said, "We've had trouble with blacks before," you've got to put two and two together. And it's just as you've said, it is not acceptable that this happens. Now, you're talking about being shocked. For the second year in a row, the Police Service of Northern Ireland statistics have shown that there's been an increase in race incidents, and they're happening at a rate of 3 a day. That is outperforming sectarian incidents for the second year. So our prejudice seems to be moving towards race nowadays, and it is simply not acceptable.
How do we change the mindset of people? Because they do have a disposition to make a judgment on all sorts of people in all sorts of places. How do we slow down the jump to conclusion?
Well, I think, first of all, it's recognising that this isn't another person's problem. I mean, I am a man, And there are lots of stereotypes that men have about women and women have about men. And we laugh about them. You know, women can't park cars, men can't do two things at once. Now, we know that those things are actually not true. But somehow, those stereotypes translate into humour, and then somehow people begin to believe them. And we have that about Protestants and Catholics, and you and I have talked about that before, about what we think about the other. In this particular case, I have a black friend who's an adult, and when he stopped, he's asked, where do you come from? He says, Belfast. And they'll say, well, before that. And he'll say, the Royal Victoria Hospital in October 1960. And it stops them in their tracks, because most people think if you're black or mixed race, you must have been a migrant. We have this notion that black people have come here rather than be born here. That's a very simple one. Think of travellers. There was a recent survey, and 40% of people said they did use derogatory terms about travellers. And travellers have been here for hundreds of years. So there's no argument that says, oh, black and minority ethnic people, they're new, we'll get to know them, they'll live alongside us, you know, this is just the early days. It's not. First thing is, we recognise our own prejudices. And secondly, we need training. So Courage PC World have agreed that they are changing their policies, and there's some substantial changes. And they've also agreed that staff be given training specifically in race-related issues. So these stereotypes don't exist.
Yeah, but how is it that Currys PC World, one of the biggest names in commerce here, haven't put their staff through the training? I work for a much smaller company. We're now part of a massive company, but you know, down the years, I would have worked for a company that was smaller, a couple of companies that were smaller than Currys, and you're put through this sort of training every 12 months.
Well, you would expect so, and whether Currys did or didn't do this, We have actually gone through their policies with them. Now, they didn't have a policy, for example, of how you deal with customers generically. And a lot of companies don't. We have a model policy, and we've suggested they use that. We've also gone through their policies in diversity and made some changes there. But we've also recommended strongly that all their staff, whether they're seasonal staff, people come in for the weekend or evenings, get direct training in race. And that's about helping people recognise what I've talked about, the biases that we carry within us about people who are different than us. And secondly, how then you deal with people equitably. I mean, you and I have talked again about disability, and we have stereotypes about people with disability. And now shops realise what they don't want to do is exclude a third of our population who live with a disability or have a relative from their money coming over the counter. We think of LGBT. People have talked about the pink pound. In this particular case, we have about 2% of our population who, if you like, are ethnic minorities or who have been born here and are black or mixed race. Would anybody in their right mind want to turn away 2 or 3% of their clients simply because they don't know how to deal with difference? Currys have embraced this. They've said, we want to do this in a way that works for the Equality Commission. Although they didn't admit liability, they are now going to embed this for all staff. We had another case recently, a big firm. They actually didn't have a policy on equality and diversity. And when this went up to a tribunal, it was very obvious then the tribunal chair went, well, you don't have a policy and you're not doing training. So please don't imagine that everybody thinks that this is just like a normal. It needs to be, we need these reminders, and I'm glad you had your 12 months top up.
Yeah, we do get it. There's no doubt about it. But society needs it. There's still a mindset here in Northern Ireland, isn't there, that, you know, if you've got a white son or white daughter, you mightn't have the conversation with your neighbour and say, oh my goodness, my son or daughter is marrying X, Y or Z. But if they're marrying someone that looks different from X, Y or Z, suddenly you get a sense from people that it's being explained by the neighbours for some reason.
Well, listen, you know, where else in the world would a man and a woman, both white, both Christian, get married, and because one's a Protestant and one's a Catholic, we call it a mixed marriage? So we have lived with this idea of marrying another type. There was a recent survey in 2017, and 52% of people said they wouldn't accept a Muslim being married into their family. Now, that's not surprising to me, because more than half of us have never met a Muslim. Take travellers, it's about the same percentage that people wouldn't want a traveller in their family as an in-law or as a neighbour, because we have this notion that somehow they're different, and because they're different, they're a threat. Instead of saying different should be something we should embrace. And we are having increasing numbers. 18 of our 57 current cases are race-related cases, and that's a big increase on last year.
So we judge all groups on the negative element within the group, because there are negative elements within all groups, including within my workplace. You know, there are negatives about everything, but we tend to judge Muslims on the negative sect within the Islamic faith. We tend to judge travellers on whoever within the travelling community might break the law.
Yeah.
I just wonder, how are white people judged who aren't members of an ethnic minority? Because there's so many negatives about, for want of a better term, us.
No, you're absolutely right. I lived for a couple of years in Africa, and I was one of maybe a dozen people who were not black in that community, and it was in Uganda. And it was interesting, you know, there was still this notion then, I'm not talking 40 years ago, of the fact that the white person was more educated, the white person, you know, talked down to black people. And whenever the stereotype was challenged, so when I, you know, sat down and was talking to women and didn't really like women washing my hands when I went into their house, this sort of shattered their stereotype. Now, whether it was good or bad is another issue. But unless we talk about these things, and it's a bit like people with a disability. You know, someone comes up in a wheelchair, and if we're not trained, we don't know, do we crouch down to talk to them? Do we stand up? We don't know the basic tenets of how we actually deal with difference. And not a bit of wonder, because, you know, we're educated apart. We mostly play separate sports. Most of us don't have a neighbour who's different. How many of us have actually had a sensible conversation with someone who's a Roma or an asylum seeker or a Muslim or a black and minority ethnic person? Yes, the Polish people, the Lithuanians that have been here are white. Most of us tend to have some contact with them. But this hidden minority, whenever they walk into a shop, like this young boy from mixed race, there was an assumption made, quote, as the allegation was, that we had problems from blacks before. You're of a black colour, and therefore you're going to cause problems. And it's a bit like the stereotypes, you know, white men can't jump. You know, there was the basketball movie that was about that. Or black people can't swim. You know, we live with these stereotypes, and we've got to shatter them. And one of the ways we can do it is training, but the other way is actually to begin to engage more with the other. And that's why sharing, that's why integration, that's why being together in harmonious workplaces is extremely important.
Dr. Michael Wardlow, thank you very much indeed. It's unbelievable that we are talking about this, but we are Chief Commissioner of the Equality Commission in the wake of a young man from the Newry area being compensated after being asked to leave a Curry's store somewhere in County Down that basically suggested to him that they had problems with blacks before, and he was a young black lad. Gary has a point that he wants to make. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Gary. What's on your mind on the back of that conversation, please?
Honestly, God, it's constantly, constantly, constantly all about this creeds and colours and religions. The ordinary people are just scundered listening to it. I've been looking at this and just, it's unbelievable that you can't say what you want to say when you want to say it. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, let me stop you there for a second. Let me stop you, because it's on the back of this conversation about £3,000 being paid to a young man from Newry who was asked to leave a store in County Down because he was black. At what point would it have been acceptable for the staff or the manager or whoever in that store to have said to the young man, we need you to leave now, and whenever he got some form of explanation, it was because we had problems with blacks in the past. At what point would that be acceptable language?
What is wrong with that? Like, the same people, it's their business. They should be allowed to do whatever they want to do. And just because they've done that and said what they said, now everybody's thinking it's so wrong. Like, if they've had problems with blacks before, and there's black people comes into the shop, and do they just turn around and ignore the whole thing? Well, if they've had problems before, obviously they're going to do it. It's like a farmer whose dogs are running on the... It doesn't matter what colour the dog is or what size the dog is. If it comes onto his land and he's had trouble with it before, he's going to deal with it. Honestly, see, the only people in this world that is allowed to be racist or talk about racism is black people or anybody else. We can't open our mouths because we're white, and if we do, we're called a racist.
Gary, I can't believe some of the things you're saying. I'm gobsmacked here, but I'm glad you came on, because maybe you're amplifying the problem that exists in Northern Ireland.
Hold on a second, Gary.
You have compared a young black fella coming in to buy a wireless keyboard in Currys, where they've had some difficulty with customers who happen to be black in the past. You're comparing that to dogs coming on to a farmer's field, worrying sheep, and all dogs are then a threat to the farmer. The reality is, all dogs are a threat to the farmer because dogs may kill sheep if they get into the pack mentality. Not all black people are going to steal or cause bother in a curry store. That's the crucial difference.
That's the exact point I'm making. I'm not making like the black guy is just like dogs and stuff. You've just twisted that around. I'm not saying you've turned it around to say, oh, you can't believe that I've likened that to dogs. It's a figure of speech. That's what I'm trying to say. You can't open your mouth in today's age about nothing. Because if you do, you have to wind your P's and Q's. Nobody's allowed to speak their own mind anymore.
Well, not if you're going to discriminate against people, not if you're going to send someone away from a service that you'd give to someone else, but you won't give it to them because of their colour.
But that's what I'm trying to say. People say some things, but they're not meaning to discriminate. It's unbelievable in the day and age you can't open your mouth about anything. You have to mind your P's and Q's. Some people there have lived out in the country to speak their mind, and they're not politically correct in everything they say, but that is the way they speak. And maybe if somebody thinks that's an offensive, they don't mean to be offensive. That's me there saying about the black guy and then the dogs in the field. That's me making a point. I didn't mean any reference between the two to join them up in any way. I'm trying to make a point.
He's away. I didn't hang up on him. I think he just put the phone down. But I can't believe some of that stuff. I really can't. And the other point he makes, which I would have addressed with him if he had stayed on the line, would be along the lines of where he says white people can't say anything. Black people can be racist. Muslim people can be racist. Chinese people can be racist. Polish people can be racist. It's not just white people who are racist. Nobody's suggesting that it's only white people who are racist. You know, I think Gary's defence was ignorance there, and he was displaying it right, left and centre. However, this is what we're up against. 0289033105. Mary has a point that she wants to make. Go ahead, Mary.
Hello. I was just listening to the talk there on the show, and I just wanted to say that my children are mixed race. They're both in primary school, and we're at the moment dealing with an issue of comments that have been made to my daughter, who's only six. And the school have been very, very supportive and are dealing with it and are going to address it as a whole school matter to simply educate people, to educate our society on what is acceptable and what's not acceptable to say to people. My child should not have to accept that throughout her life she has to take comments about her colour.
I'm not going to ask you which school it is, but your school environment doesn't have the advantage that some other schools, for example, in Belfast, have for the last number of years. I was in a school very, very recently where I think there were something like 16 different nationalities in the room that I was in. And that in itself is an education for the children from Belfast. To be sitting beside young black children, to be sitting beside young Muslim children, to be sitting beside young Chinese children, it was just a perfect lesson without anything being said, because they were all getting to know each other. Those of us who grew up without any influence from an ethnic minority or an overseas group or any particular grouping that would seem slightly different, those of us who didn't have that experience had a lot of learning to do. So I presume the children where your kids are going, the children in that school, they have a lot of learning to do. And you're saying that the school is broadening out the teaching to give them an understanding of diversity. Is that what you're suggesting?
That's right, because I don't believe children are bad. Children just accept what goes on around them. They have to learn that. They have to have learnt or heard comments somewhere to be able to come out with making references to another child's colour.
And how hard is it for your children? And are they the only mixed race kids in the school?
No, they're not the only mixed race kids, but obviously it's predominantly white.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's at that age, it's you know, it's hard to know exactly how they're taking it. But I mean, to feel different because of the colour of your skin, that's not acceptable.
But it is Northern Ireland. That's the reality, Mary. You know, people have been on this journey across the water for many decades now. And there's still a problem in some people's heads. But most families across the water that I know just mix naturally, hang out, are around those who are of an origin that is not from the exact street that they are from down the generations. So they have managed those families to be much more natural about it than we in Northern Ireland are. We're on some sort of learning curve. We're well behind, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And that's why I think society here needs to be more educated as to what is acceptable and what's not acceptable.
I can't agree more with you. Mary, thank you, and I hope your children don't suffer as a result of some of the idiots that are coming, obviously, from families that are idiotic in their approach. 0289033105. Your opinions, I'll take more of them in a moment. Gráinne is on line 2 and she has a point to make. Good morning, Gráinne.
Good morning, Frank. Frank, I want to speak about your man, Gary. How dare he come on and say something like that? That is totally below the belt. Just because the child was black, he should not have been discriminated against in any shape or form.
Gary has put an argument towards the end of his conversation before he either hung up or his phone went dead. And his point was that people up the country, he said, explain themselves, but they don't use politically correct language. And he mentioned that the comparison of dogs going into fields to black people going into shops that he used on the radio wasn't meant to be derogatory. I challenged him on it. To me, it was jaw-droppingly derogatory. But he feels that it's a lack of ability to explain what he's saying, where he says he's searching for political correct language instead of being able to say what he wants to say to get his point across, because he has a valid point to make. He feels that we are sanitizing all language, and therefore his comparison wasn't meant to be derogatory, even though you and I both know it was.
It was very much so derogatory, as you said. But in saying that, like, in Northern Ireland, we have been facing discrimination all our lives. We are between being Protestant and Catholic, you know. So in saying that, like, we should be used to it in ways. But in saying that, like, that poor young fella must have felt absolutely rotten.
There is no doubt about that. This is the young man in Newry that we're talking about who was asked to leave a Curry's store because he was black. Tony has a point. Tony, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Yes, Tony, go ahead.
Frank, I'd just like to make a quick point here. I think Gary's right in what he's saying. He wasn't discriminating against the young kid or anybody else. He was just making a point which everybody's entitled to. Now, I think your programme is raised to profile. High profile on blacks now, been able to scream out every time, discrimination.
Gary, explain this to me, and I'll give you as long as you need to explain it. How was the young fella in Curry's not discriminated against if he was asked to leave the store because he was black?
Well, I'm sure the guy didn't turn around and say, we're only taking somebody else's word for it, that he was described as black.
Right, but let's get to the bottom of this. The young fella has been shadowed going round the store. He's buying a wireless keyboard. He's looking at a lot of merchandise, and he's realizing that staff are following him. So he gets into a conversation with the staff, and the staff ask him to leave. Now he feels he's a young fella. He's only 13. He feels that this is unfair, and his mother then inquires from the store as to why was my son asked to leave your store. And a manager in the store allegedly said to the woman, we've had problems with blacks. So if they've had problems with people who are black, and I'm not suggesting they didn't, they probably had the sort of guys that you wouldn't want next or near you who happened to be black, who were in the store, who were possibly going to steal something or they damaged something, of course they could have had. No one's questioning that. Black people can do that, believe it or not. White people can do that. Chinese people can do that. But the point is, you can't blame the next black person coming in for something that other black people might have done. That's the crucial bit here.
100%, I do agree there with you. But at the end of the day, you know, people just get fed up. I mean, if you look at the percentage of black people in England, and you go back to the media again, as in your programme there, and you look at the programmes there that they're firing out on television, 9 times out of 10 it is a black person. So then people in reality is looking at that here, and they're going, oh, there's another one. And every time, for instance, I was in a bar.
Just hold on, I'm losing you a little bit. What's your argument about 9 times out of 10 it's a black person? A black person what?
That's committing crime or doing what they're doing. You know, I think it's just been blown out of proportion. The young fellow, okay, I do feel a pity on the way he has felt, the way it's been put across. But, you know, you've just hired the profile here for black people now, young or old, to go out shouting it off, I'm black, this is racist. And watch this space. You need to see many companies fall for it, that they have to bow down to that jail or they have to bow down to that album.
Tony, do you feel... If you were behind a counter in a shop and you were you were busy and you had a lot of people to serve and there were some black people who were down along the aisles and you couldn't really see them, would you be more suspicious of those black people than a couple of white people down along the aisles?
Well, for starters, that's a cue. You're talking about this young fellow who's run about on his own.
No, but I'm asking you for that scenario where you can't actually see the people. If I was running a shop, I would be suspicious of people generally. I would have my camera up and I'd be making sure that nobody was shoplifting. I would want to ensure that everyone was paying for the products that they were buying. So if you, because you're talking about crime and you're talking about significant numbers of black people being involved in crime, if you were running the shop and you could see you were aware of people in the distance in the shop and a couple of them were black, would you be thinking that you and your products were more at risk because black people were in the shop?
No, because if they're in a queue, Nancy, they're coming to pay for their item.
Yeah, but they're not in a queue. They're out of vision. They're down in the corner. You can't see them. But they're black. Would you have a few concerns that you wouldn't have if they were white?
No, I would have both concerns, black or white. If it was down the corner in OCTV, you'd have concerns no matter who they would be.
Well, then why are you suggesting that black people are more likely to commit crime than white people?
We're talking about a person here walking about in a place on his own, young at a young age, around electrical equipment. Who wouldn't be approached that? Can I help you? You know, we don't know the full circumstances here. We're going by what one person has actually said. But to finish the conversation, all I'm saying is your programme, I think, has raised the profile here for black people now to shout out racism, as I've been in a couple of positions with black people that shouted the exact same thing, and there was no guilt on our behalf.
I don't fully understand that last line.
And there was no guilt in our behalf.
What do you mean? What do you mean there was no guilt on your behalf? You were accused of shouting something.
No, there was there's a big, this gentleman came up and accused us of doing something. We did not do it, but because the black people turned around and said, this is racism against us, we were put out of the building.
Okay, okay. So you have you've had a problem in the past with some form of interaction, and your argument on that particular example may be correct. The black person's argument may be right. I don't have all the detail on it. But you do have an annoyance from an experience, and that's understandable. Tony, thank you. 0289 0333 105. Got to speak to Jack and Eamon and Brian, who are patiently waiting. I appreciate your time, gentlemen. Speak to you in just a moment. Eamon is on line one. Good morning, Eamon. And Jack is on line two. Good morning to Jack as well. Let me go to Jack. Go ahead, Jack.
Hi, good morning, Frank.
Yes, good morning, Jack. Go ahead.
Yeah, Frank, I've been listening to people that have been contributing to your program. I think some of them don't have a clue of what they're talking about.
And why do you say that? Why do you say that, Jack? What is your own background?
Yeah, my own background. I'm a black from Africa. Because you can't be saying that if you see 10 people, 9 or 8 are black. That's not what they should be saying. They should be saying good things that are coming out of the black. That's what they should be saying. See, 2 days ago, an incident happened to my son. 8 years old boy went to go and play football. Could you imagine one of the boys that they were playing at the same age, 8 years, was telling my son, you F black? Imagine. And the boy came to house when he came, but he couldn't tell me. I was in the house, so he told my friend that imagine a boy that were playing football calling me F black.
That's incredibly sad to hear, Jack. And what age group are we talking about for the youngster who's using that sort of language? He's 8 years of age as well.
Yeah. And my son told me, said, Dad, next time, I will hit him. I said, don't do that. Because, you know, the boy was feeling the pain. And this is a mistress. Imagine if it's a pure black son, child, what would happen? You know, and that's why I was surprised that how could you be calling a mixed race that kind of name? What about a black person? If both parents are black, do you understand me?
I can't even begin to imagine how hurt you must feel for your son and how hurt you must feel for your family to be treated like that, and to think that another 8-year-old thinks like that and possibly is hearing it from his parents or his circle.
It's not about the circle. It's the parents. That's what they say. That's what the child been hearing. Because the boy is too young to be saying that.
I agree with you entirely, Jack. I really do feel for you. And obviously, it needs to be brought up at some level. If children, wherever your son is playing, are using language like that, whether you speak to a counsellor or speak to the local school, I don't know what the next step is for you, but I wouldn't let it pass. And if you do know the parent of the child well enough, maybe you need to speak calmly to that parent, because it's sickening to think that one 8-year-old is telling another 8-year-old to F off because he's black. That is really sad. Jack, thank you for the example. Eamon has a point. Eamon, good morning.
All right, Frank, how's it going?
Good, Eamon. Go ahead.
Good. No, I just wanted to say, and I wish I had got on before the last, actually, man. I was just going to say, going in the school to drop off my daughter today, and she overheard the conversation, and she had said, Daddy, what's the difference? And I was just thinking, well, isn't it great that the kids, not all the kids are like that, but that they don't see the difference, and they actually just think, well, if it's Jack, if it's Sam, they don't seem to care that much anymore. But it isn't all the kids, obviously, so that's always fun to say.
Yeah, see, I mean, I think we're probably 20 years away from it. I say 20, it could be 10, but there are enough young people growing up in our society now who are black or mixed race or from other ethnic groups, and they are living lock, stock and barrel in Northern Ireland, and they're part of our society. And they're going to meet people whose families have always been for umpteen generations in Northern Ireland. And they're going to meet, they're going to marry, they're going to fall in love, they're going to do all those things that they do. Most importantly of all, they're going to have children. And we're going to have a rich tapestry of mixed race and black children here in the future. And then people will look around and see neighbours as opposed to some form of intruder or different person. And when that mindset changes, and I guarantee you there are people listening to this programme now who are in their 60s and 70s and they're saying, no, you know, they're either ignoring that reality or they're castigating me for suggesting that we're going to have a better society when we have more variety of person and race in this community. Unfortunately, it's a journey. And people like the family that Jack was talking about there, especially the parent who would be bringing up a little child, to use racist language, they have a longer journey to go on. But whenever that little rude child is bringing up his kids will possibly have a greater understanding. Your child seems to already have arrived where we need children to be.
No, no, they're not all like that, but I just actually thought I would share it anyway. So, yeah, times are actually kind of changing, but obviously it's a long journey, isn't it? So,
it is a long journey, and it's in many ways a very sad journey, because the bottom line is that people are suffering, like the young boy in the curry store, or that child at 8 years of age being told to F off because he's black. That is very, very sad indeed. 0289 033 105. I want to speak to someone who's working very much in the sector with children, Siobhan Fitzpatrick from Early Years, Chief Executive. Siobhan, it's a changing landscape, isn't it?
It is indeed, Frank, but I just thought I would like to share with you work that we have been doing actually for nearly the last 20 years on this very issue. We have developed a Respecting Difference programme for very young children, their teachers and their families. And we did this on the back of research, Too Young to Notice? Which was commissioned by the Community Relations Council also nearly 20 years ago, which unfortunately showed that young children in Northern Ireland, 5 years after the ceasefire, were developing negative attitudes to others who were different from themselves, whether that was on religious grounds, on race grounds, on ethnic minority grounds in terms of traveller children. But as a result of this work, and that's what I wanted to share with you, we have intentionally developed a programme that supports a respect for our own culture and an understanding of our own culture, but a respect for others who are different. And as a result of that work, we commissioned a very large random controlled trial carried out by Queen's University that showed that this work can have a positive impact on negative stereotypical attitudes and behaviours in children, in their teachers and their parents. And I suppose it's not surprising that children in Northern Ireland and others, older people, have picked up negative attitudes to others because of the divisions and conflict that have been about in our society.
Well, it is good that that work is being done. If people wanted to read about that, do you have a website or whatever, if they wanted to find out more?
We do indeed. Frank, it's the Early Years website, www.earlyyears.org, and it's under our media initiative, Respecting Difference Programme. You can read about the programme and about all of the research. We're delighted that that programme is rolling out now again, funded by Peace 4, in terms of sharing from the start and in ensuring that young children from across the religious and ethnic divides have opportunities to be together, to get to know each other. And indeed, the work is being shared elsewhere. I'm going to Palestine and Israel next week to begin discussing the possibilities of the programme being adapted in the Middle East region.
Well, it certainly sounds like very important work, and you've work to do here as well as work to do overseas. Siobhan, thank you for describing it to us. Siobhan Fitzpatrick from the Early Years Organisation.
By the way, we have a statement from Dixon's, and they say as follows: our customers and colleagues should feel respected in our stores and places of work at all times, and we do not tolerate discrimination of any kind. The complaint dates back to 2016, since the involvement of the Equality Commission in 2017. We have worked with them indeed to update our equality and diversity policy and taken on board their recommendations. Now, so many of you are absolutely shocked by some of our contributors this morning. I can't read out all those texts, but thank you indeed for sending them to us. Amanda, she makes a point that she says she doesn't want to sound as racist, but she reckons that 50% of the stealing that's being done from her shop is from one particular nationality. It's a point she just wants to make. She's in County Armagh. This person says, I'm shocked and disgusted that these two men could possibly be as racist as they are. This is a reference to two chaps who were on earlier that a lot of you had remarked on this morning. And as I say, I'll read out more of the texts as the day goes by, but I can't possibly fit them all in. But thank you very, very much indeed.